Well, if I can ask you to make your way to your seat so we can go ahead and get started, that would be wonderful, please. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Have you ever found, no, you just answered my question for me, Jason, you just don't know it. Have you ever been a bah humbug person? Ever found bah humbug? Yes, right? You know, I laugh because Pastor Chaz and Miss Tanya, you know, Miss Tanya is the greatest of all Christmas people. She loves Christmas more than I think anyone else that you could find. And then you have Pastor Chaz. It's not that he, now listen, I'll stick up for him. I'm not making fun of him. I'll stick up for him. It's not that he doesn't like Christmas. He just doesn't like Christmas as much as Miss Tanya likes Christmas. But it's true. I mean, I love, you know, the Grinch is one of my favorite movies, at Christmas time. Yes, I know a pastor should love like the Nativity or something like that. I mean, that would be the right movie for, but I do like the Grinch. Sorry, that's just who I am. But I love that because the Grinch is this bah humbug person, right? It's everything is bah humbug. He doesn't like Christmas at all. It reminds me of a lot of you all. Oh, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just making sure you're all paying attention. You know, I know with the ice and the rain that's going on out there, I just want to make sure you're all paying attention and hearing what I said. No. But honestly, have you ever looked, have you ever asked yourself a question? Why isn't every single time you walk into a church, why don't you see immediately smiles and excitement and joy over the faces of all people? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I have. I have asked myself that question. In fact, I'm going to peel back the layers of the onion a little bit and tell you that this morning has been very, very difficult. As in setup and everything else, nothing was working right. We're missing a lot of people, partly because of weather and partly because of vacations and other things. And so it was just very, very difficult. And I found myself going, getting all worked up. And then I'm like, wait, I'm going to get up and preach about joy, right? I have to listen to my own preaching. And that's hard to do, let me tell you. I'm sorry. But I do think, usually I'm a very happy person. Usually I like to smile a lot. I like to have fun. Even I remember a few years ago, it was 5 or 6 years ago, I was having a surgery done, and it was... I won't get into the details, but it's a part that no one really likes to have surgery on as a man. I'll just say it that way. And I'm having the surgery, and the nurse comes in and she's like, so what are we doing? And I had to describe the surgery about 10 times to 10 different people, including Pastor Chaz, because he came to visit me in the hospital for that surgery. And as I'm there, I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, this is embarrassing. I don't want to explain the surgery over and over and over again. That's just not something, I mean, I want to get into a lot of details, but it's just embarrassing. But then I started laughing. I'm like, what else am I going to do? Might as well just enjoy it and have fun with it, right? And so as the nurses came in and would ask me questions, I would exaggerate my answers and start to have some fun with them. And the one nurse goes, how can you be laughing with the surgery that you're going about ready to have? And I'm like, I'm not dying, am I? I mean, I know a lot of women think that men think with certain body parts that, but I'm not. And I'm going to be here. I'm going to live through this surgery. And she's like, well, yes, but it's not something that usually you smile about. And I'm like, why else would I smile? Said, I'm not smiling because I'm going to have surgery. I'm smiling because I'm going to get through this surgery. See, the truth of the matter is that oftentimes we are looking for joy in all the wrong places. Talk to an addict, and what do they say? They look for happiness or joy in the bottle of the bottom, or they look for joy in the bottle of drugs, or whatever it is. That's where they're looking for their joy. That's where they're looking for their next hit, if you will, to get them past the feelings of everything that's coming at them. The problem with this is that when you find when you look for joy in something that is man-made, it's only going to last for a very short amount of time. See, too often what happens in our lives and in the lives of the people around us is that we are looking for joy in circumstances that we should never be looking for joy in. This world was not a place that was going to bring us joy. It's not. I mean, honestly, as Christians, we are aliens passing through this life. Our joy, our eternity, our internal joy comes from Jesus, but it also comes from our time with Him. But that doesn't mean that we just walk through going, oh, woe is me, bah humbug, here we go again. We have the greatest reason, we have the most reason to be happy amongst all the people that walk this earth. It is also why, I'll go back to this idea, when you walk into a church, you should see smiling people. You should see happy people. I was going to sing an REM song, but I won't go there. Shiny, happy people? No, I won't go there. But listen, the truth of the matter is that we have the reason why and the reason for being completely happy in this world. We know it. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that relationship is the reason for joy. About a month and a half ago, I was called in to do a funeral. The original pastor that was supposed to do the funeral ended up getting COVID, and so the funeral home called me, I'm friends with the funeral director, and that sounds so bad because but he's a really nice guy. And so, but he asked me, he said, can you do this funeral? I said, sure. And so I called up the family, and it was like literally, it was hours before the funeral was supposed to happen. So I called the family. I said, just give me some information. And she, of course, was upset. The daughter of the gentleman who we were doing the funeral for was very upset, and she was upset, and I tried to comfort her as much as I could on the phone, and I said, listen, I said, I got enough, I'll come meet with you. So right before the funeral, I sat down with her, and as I'm talking with her, I began to do what I normally do, and that is crack jokes. Yes, your pastor cracks jokes at funerals. And she stopped, and she goes, I'm just so thankful that you're happy. And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, I've been around so many sad people that it's so nice to see someone who has joy on their face. And I said, thank you, first of all. But I said, my job here today is to honor your father who passed away. By the way, he was a believer in Christ. And so when I told her, I said, listen, you have the greatest reason to understand that your father right now is enjoying the best moments of his life that he's ever had before. And so we can express that sadness for him not being here, but we can also express the joy for knowing where he's at and understanding that you too can join him one day. And it was a beautiful service, and it's even if I do say so myself. No, I'm kidding. It was a beautiful service of honoring this man. And when I got done, I started thinking to myself, "This is." By the way, I failed to tell you that I did all of this with a kidney stent in, and I was in complete pain every moment that I'm doing this funeral. As I walked away, I began to realize that my joy doesn't depend on pain or lack thereof. My joy doesn't depend on sickness or lack thereof. My joy depends on Him and Him alone. And so when I'm sick, when I'm not feeling good, when I'm in pain, when I'm even depressed, you can still be joyful because the Lord brings you that joy. Our joy is not in the circumstances of this world. Our joy is in Him. I don't need to preach anymore. God bless you all. Have a great day. No, I'm kidding. The truth, don't you all wish? I know. The truth of the matter is, though, is that too often we replace that joy with something else here on this earth. And we need to remind ourselves today that He is our joy. Let's pray and we'll finish moving forward. Father, we thank You so much for who You are. We thank You for all that You have done, all that You are doing, and all that You will do. Lord, we can be joyful today because of You in our lives. And so, Lord, help us today as we dive not only into these verses, but just in this idea of the Advent candle of joy. May we give You that joy, Father. Lord, I love You. We love You. We love the joy that You provide for us. We thank You, Father, for all that. Holy Spirit, we ask You to come and just move in our service today. Move in us. Help us to grasp a hold of this idea of joy and what it means to live with it, Father. Help us to live with You. Holy Spirit, I also ask that You help me, help my words not be my own, but let them be Your words, Father, as we share this message that You have given to us. Let us walk in that joy today. We give You the glory, the honor, and the praise because You deserve it all and so much more. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as a child, when I participated in Advent, the pink candle was always the candle of love, which is next week. As I got older, I was told that that was wrong and that the pink candle was for joy. And so today we light the third candle of Advent for joy, which is the pink candle. I still think it should be for love, but that's okay. We'll do the pink candle for joy. We are down to three candles lit: hope, peace, and joy. The last one is love, and then the middle candle is for the Christ candle. We're going to use a verse today that we've used last week a little bit, and we're going to dive a little bit more into it. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 8 is where we're going to be starting. A verse that you guys are familiar with. I'm sure you've heard this over and over and over again. In my best Linus and Lucy voice, I will not do, but I will, in my best impression in your mind, you can think of Linus and Lucy giving this. But verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, I want you to understand something. Now, as much as last week we used this as peace, because at the end of the verse, the angels cry out to the shepherds, good tidings and peace, and talks about those things, and Jesus being peaceful, and He is all of those things. But one of the things the angels cry also out to the shepherds is that they say to them, I bring you good tidings of great sadness. That's not up there. That's not in any translations you will ever find. Not even in the ESV, Pastor Chess, just to let you know. It says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And then they say something that is very, very particular, which will be to all people. Now, we talked a little bit last week about what that means to all people, but it means, guess what? All people. That means everyone. Jesus was bringing joy to all people, not just a certain group of people, not just the angels, not just the shepherds that were there. He was bringing joy to all people. But it's not just joy. There's a pre-qualifying word right before that. That pre-qualifying word is great. Jesus brought great joy. He brings great joy everywhere He goes. Listen, Jesus is the greatest example of joy that this world has ever seen, will ever see, and has ever. Future, past, present, and future joy has ever seen. And so when we look at this, you have to understand that when the angels cry out to the shepherds and say, Jesus is great joy, he's not just talking about a happy time, right? This wasn't just for one period of time. See, listen, I can stand up here and I could tell dad jokes with the best of them. Ben's shaking his head no, but you know it's true, Ben. I could stand up here and share dad jokes all the time. Now, some of you would probably go, that's terrible. Stop telling jokes. Amen. Some of you might laugh. But the truth of the matter is that a joke, a comedy routine, something funny lasts for how long? A day, maybe, at best? Do you know, this is kind of, in preparing for the sermon, I was looking up the average amount of time that a funny meme lasts psychologically in someone. You know how long that is? I'm sorry?
5 seconds.
5 seconds. Close. Literally, they say it's within 7.5 to 10 seconds. That's how long the dopamine hit of that funniness, that internal body when you watch a meme, you watch a video online, and you're like, oh, that's so funny, and then all of a sudden you're swiping. Guess what? Years ago, 10 years ago, guess how long it was? 5 minutes. That dopamine, and when I say dopamine, it's an internal hit that we get. Our body creates this joy, this understanding of what joy is. And so our culture and social media, in many cases, has caused that to be degraded from 5 minutes all the way down to 7 to 10 seconds before we're swiping. It's amazing, because what's happening is that we are creating more addicted people than ever before. And what I mean by that is that we're not only, it's not just being addicted to porn or addicted to, I almost said corn, addicted to drugs or alcohol or any of those things, right? It's not just that. We are finding that people are addicted to that dopamine hit that they're getting, because it's not lasting very long. And so what do? They're constantly looking for it. So what happens? Social media knows this, by the way. TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, they know this. So what do they try to do? They're trying to serve you up the ads, and their algorithm comes back to bringing the same memes around. And back when the Hurricane Helene went through North Carolina, and I watched like a few videos of that, the next thing I know is all of my reels was like every video was the Hurricane Helene. Every single one of them. And it wasn't until I purposefully went and looked for a different video that changed. Why is that happening? Because they know that you are interested in that and that you're creating a dopamine hit inside of you, and it's going to cause you to come back to it. Why? Because they are looking to try to create joy inside of you. Because if they can create some moment of joy, your attitude towards that app or towards that thing will be positive, and you will associate joy with that app or happiness. And so what we're finding, and the reason why I'm bringing all this up is some of you are looking at me going, why is he talking about all this? I'm talking about all this because, listen, the truth of the matter is there's so many things competing for your joy right now that you don't even know. Have you ever seen the little, please do not tell my wife this because she'll be all over me for saying this, but have you ever seen the advertisement, how much sugar is in a can of pop, right? Do you know they don't need to put that much sugar in to keep the same flavor? Do you know why they put more sugar in pop today than what they did years ago? It's addictive. They want to create that addicted personality to get you to come back to that and continue to go buy Pepsi, Sue, and other things. The truth of the matter is that we are looking for joy in so many things, and it has nothing to do with Jesus. But Jesus came to this earth. The angels pronounced him in this great birth announcement that he was going to be great joy. The angel said, we have good news. Great joy is here for all people. Too often we just don't realize how much we have to be joyous about. Too often we try to look for joy in many other things instead of looking for the very thing that was created to bring us joy today. And that is Jesus Christ. He is the one who came to this earth. He is the one that brought us joy. He is the reason why we should have joy today. Nothing else. Everything else that we get. Listen, people used to think that money brings them joy. Guess what? Money doesn't bring you joy. The more money you have, the more money you're going to want. That's a proven. I mean, listen, my father, who wasn't the most financially smart person, let's just put it that way. He wasn't bad, right? But he wasn't a banker. He wasn't a finance person. He was a blue-collar man. He told me when I was a very young child, he said, the more money you make, the more money you're going to want. And guess what? I remember that financial information more than I remember pretty much anything else, because it's true. You spend more. The more you make, the more you spend. The more you spend, the more you want. The more you need, the more you want to spend, and you continue going down this path. The reason why all this is important is because we are finding our joy in so many other things other than Jesus. Jesus didn't just bring joy, he was joy. You have to understand that. There's a difference between bringing someone joy and being joy. Jesus didn't just bring joy, he was joy. John chapter 15, verse 11. John says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy, this is Jesus speaking, I should say, but John writes them down. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be what? Empty? Full. He says, Jesus says, your joy may be full. That's what he's here for. Jesus came to this earth so that we could have his joy. The joy that he brought to this earth. Do you understand that Jesus came to this earth to walk this earth, to show us how to walk this earth, but also to bring us joy that we could never have? See, the problem is that today we are looking and trying to define joy and happiness together. Do you know that happiness and joy are two separate things? Yes. Happiness and joy are sometimes interchangeably used, but that would be false. That would be wrong. Happiness is a moment in time. It is a feeling. It's something that happens. It's a reaction to something that has happened to you. If I gave you $1 million, I bet you'd be happy. I would be too, right? So if you want to give it back, I'll be happy. I'll be joyous though too. Let me tell you. No, I'm kidding. But joy in Scripture is defined as a fruit of the Spirit. It's internal, it's an internal choice. It's a decision that I have made to follow Jesus and to be joyful in what he is, regardless of the circumstances that are going on around me. It is why in the middle of a funeral, you can laugh. It is why in the midst of financial issues, you can still be happy. It is why in the midst of all of the problems that we have in this world, you can still be joyous and you can stand up and you can smile on your face. Because your happiness, or your joy, I should say, is not based upon the reactions of what's going on around you. It's based upon Jesus. He is the one that gives you that joy. He is the one that builds that inside of you. Jesus came and said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. Now, let me just make sure you're on the same page as I am. Jesus is speaking this to his disciples. Do you know that every single disciple that heard this in Jesus' out of his own mouth, guess what? They all died. Well, they all died. Everyone dies, right? But they all died a horrible death except for John. And John's life wasn't so pleasant either. He was cast onto the island of Patmos and spent there because they thought he was crazy. The rest of them were martyred for their faith. Some of them hung upside down on a cross because they didn't want to hang the same way that Jesus hung. Some of them had their heads cut off. Some of them, I mean, just think about this for a moment. But yet Jesus is telling them, let your joy be complete as you hang on the cross. How is that possible? How is it possible for Jesus himself to hang on the cross, but yet still be full joy? Jesus says that he says to his disciples, he says to all of us, my joy may be in you. Did you hear that? My joy may be in you. Why did Jesus have joy? He had joy because he was doing what the Father asked him to do. Jesus was so joyful that the Jewish rabbis accused him of being a drunkard. Do you know that? Literally, they thought that he was either drunk. They made fun of him because he's a drunkard and he spends time with tax collectors and prostitutes and all of this stuff. How can that man be joyful? What does he have to be joyful about? You know, that's a classic signal of what's going on, not only back then, but also in the world today. How can they be joyful when they have to give up so much stuff because they go to church and church says you have to do all these things. How can they be joyful? You have no clue, my friend. Jesus was full of joy, and if he was, then my question to you is, why are we not? Why do we have a life that seems to be dragged down, or why do we allow our joy to be stolen from us? Why do we let our joy to be replaced with the worries of this world? Why do we let the worries and the trouble and the issues of this world bring us down? Listen, I'm not saying that if you just have the joy of Jesus that everything's going to be okay and that you're going to be walking on the golden streets, the yellow brick road to Oz, right? That's not what I'm talking about. Just because you have Jesus doesn't mean that you're not going to face troubles, but what it means is that you can have joy in the midst of those troubles because you have Jesus.
That's right.
And he alone is the reason for our joy. Because guess what? Those people that don't have Jesus, when they go through trouble, guess what they get? They have no one going through this without them. They're on their own. Yeah, sure, they may have family members or friends or something like that that may support them and be there, but no one else is there for them. When we go through trouble, not only do we have a Savior who says, I promise you, I'm going to pull you through, but he also says, give me your hand and walk with me. And if I have to, I'll carry you. I'll walk through this trouble with you and you won't be alone. Man, if that's not something to be joyful for, if that's not something that brings a smile on your face, I don't know what is. That's the greatest reason for us to be full of joy. That's the greatest reason for us to go forward. And oh, by the way, when Paul mentions that joy is the fruit of the Spirit, guess what? That means if you're a Christian and you're not joyful and you're just, listen, I know some Christians that aren't real happy people. Let me just put it that way. They're not real joyful people. And I sometimes want to go and just slap them. Okay, maybe not slapping is the wrong way of doing this, right? I just want to walk up to him and go, do you really know Jesus? Because if you did, you would have every reason to be. I get it. Sometimes we wake up and there's ice all over the roads and it's hard to get into church. Sometimes we wake up and we just, you know what, I'm just not feeling it today. Sometimes we wake up and we have a sore throat or a fever or those types of things and we're just like, I can't do it today. I get it. There's times when the world seems to be pressing in on us more than ever and it's hard and it's difficult to just keep going. But guess what? That doesn't steal our joy. That gives us a temporary moment of unhappiness, but it doesn't steal away from our joy. You can still be happy and be sick. A few years ago, I went in to visit a gentleman who was in the hospital, and I walked into the room, and I was, usually when I go for hospital visits on someone who is on hospice or passing away, is usually a very somber moment. You walk in, and you're always careful about try to be careful about what I'm going to say and how I'm going to speak to the family and those types of things. And as I was walking down the hallway to the room of this person, the only thing I could hear was laughter coming out of the room. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like a fun room. I wish I was going in that room. Because I was thinking, that's not the room I'm going in. And as I got closer, I realized, that is the room I'm going in. And I walked into the room, and this guy's sitting on the bed, and he has tubes and stuff coming out of him, and he's like, I just had a good meal, and it wasn't hospital food. That's what he said. And I said, what was the good meal on? And he goes, it was Chick-fil-A. I said, that is a good meal. I said, the Lord's chicken, that's right. And as I had this conversation with him, he was laughing and he was telling jokes. And every person that walked in that hospital room did not get out unscathed. Let me put it that way, okay? And as we were having these conversations and as I'm watching this, I said, man, you're pretty happy. And he's like, I have every reason to be happy. And I said, you do, you're right. And he goes, I do because I know where I'm going. And he goes, the only thing I'm sad about is I'm not there yet. And his family, who's around going, well, we're not quite ready for you to go yet. And he goes, they don't know it, but they are ready for me to go. That's what he said. And I laughed, and it was a joyful time, and I asked him, I said, what's bringing you so much happy? He goes, it's the Lord. He goes, yeah, I'm going to die. I told my family, and he goes, I want them to hear from you, Pastor, because as you, when you do my ceremony, this is what I want. He goes, there better be a drag out, fall down on the ground, laughing, good time party in that room. And he goes, I may even get up from the casket if that happens. The truth of the matter is that joy like that comes from something that's way beyond us. It comes from the Lord. Knowing where we're going and knowing what we're doing is not a reaction to feelings. Happiness is a reaction to feelings. Listen, you can be happy about something that happens brings us happiness, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But our joy is internal. It's who we are. And as Christians, we are called to grow in that spirit, that fruit of the spirit, so that our happiness continues to grow. John chapter 16, just a chapter later. Jesus says, verse 23, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will be and you will receive that your joy may be full. Jesus says to his disciples, and he's saying in John chapter 16, this is shortly before Jesus has his amazing prayer in John chapter 17 about being one and all of those things, but he's saying there in John chapter 16 that we can ask for joy. Do you understand that? You can ask for more joy in your life. Jesus says that. He says, if you ask for these things, I will give them to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. He's also, by the way, teaching his disciples to pray, right? The Lord's Prayer. When you see Jesus teaching his Lord's Prayer, what he says, hallowed be my, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and, kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I can't believe I'm stumbling over the Lord's Prayer, but he teaches the disciples at that moment to say, in my name, in Jesus' name. And that's why when you hear us pray, when you hear me pray, when you hear anyone pray, most of the time you hear them say, in Jesus' name. Why? Because we're taught by the Lord himself to ask for these things in his name. But he also then goes on just a chapter before this great prayer that he has in John chapter 17, in John chapter 16, and he says, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Does that mean that anything you ask for that Jesus is going to give to you? No, he's teaching us that our joy may be full. If we ask, we will receive. We ask for joy, and we can receive it from her, from him, and our joy will be made full. We need to have that joy filled inside of us. There's a couple things that we learn from not only this verse, but also other verses about how to be joyful. I want to go over these real quickly. Because this is something that I think we need to understand as Christians, as church-going people, as followers of Christ, more important than anything else, is that we need to learn to be joyful. The world should look at us and say, I want what he has, I want what she has, because they are happy. They shouldn't look at the church, they shouldn't look at us and say, I don't want anything close to them, because they're the most downright ugliest people I've ever seen. Now listen, they're not necessarily going to agree with everything that we do, right? They're not going to agree with everything that we say. But at the very least, they should leave an interaction with us with a great understanding that we are full of joy. Right. There should be something that's... You know what? I think the joy of Jesus changed people more than some of his words did. The interaction that they had, that he had. Why? Tell me why Jesus can go and tell a woman at the well that she's a prostitute and that she's been married 5 times and all these things, and she leaves joyful. Why need to tell everybody the story? He read my mail. She went and told everybody in town what he had just said. Now, if I come to you and I say, you're a prostitute, you've been sleeping with all these men, and the man that you're with right now is not even your husband, how are you going to feel? You're probably going to slap me. And so you have to understand that the joy that exuded Is that right? Sounds good enough. The joy that came out of Jesus was so amazing that people could hear this word of, hey, you need to change. You're not doing something right. And walk away joyful. When we share with people, we need to learn to understand that there is ways to be joyful. Number one is that we need to change our perspective. I have come to learn that much of my life is based upon what my perspective is for the situation. I have learned to understand that if I walk into a situation, my perspective is that it's not going to be successful or something bad's going to happen. Guess what? That's probably the route it's going to go. Something's going to happen. So change your perspective. Being joyful means that you walk into a situation that says, it doesn't matter what happens or what gets thrown at me, I'm going to come away from this better than I was before because Jesus is there. Change your perspective of who you're looking at, what you're looking for, and what you're thinking of. See, I think the reason why so many people at this time of the year fail to have joy in their life is that they lose perspective on what the season is really all about. Instead of viewing the life of Jesus and lighting Advent candles that bring us in unity together, the Advent candle. Instead of lighting those candles and having an expectation of what is to come, what do? They dread this season because I'm going to go in debt because I have to buy so many gifts. I have to do this. I have to get out the Christmas cards. I have bah humbug, all those things. Stop losing your perspective on those things. You know what? It doesn't, I know your kids, none of your kids are in here, so I can say this right now, but you know what? Your kids are going to live even if they don't get the next Xbox or PlayStation or game or any toy that they want. They're going to be okay. Amen. Charlie Brown actually taught us that. If you're a child and you ever watched Charlie Brown, what's Christmas all about, Charlie Brown? When our perspective turns to the family drama, the presents, the trouble with our bills, the wonder of the season vanishes very, very quickly. Because we lose the perspective. We lose the idea of what this season is all about. But it's not just this season, though. Do you understand that? When we walk into a situation, listen, this morning was the greatest, I always love and thank the Lord for moments like what happened today, but I also, at the same time, go, Lord, do we really have to go through this again? But I love, and what I mean by that is that the perspective, if we change our perspective in the middle of the situation, instead of waiting until after the situation, guess what happens? Instead of allowing, I will publicly say, and I already apologized for her, but I will publicly apologize again. I chomped at Bonnie yesterday because we're in the middle of trying to figure out all of the gifts at the Christmas in our town. And I had explained the process that was in my mind at least 20 times to about 10 different people as we were putting the gifts together, and it still didn't work out that way. And so there was a mishap, and I'm like, no, stop. And then I'm like, wait, I'm sorry, Bonnie.
Can you tell him I was right?
No, I won't say that. Not publicly, at least. Privately, I'll tell you that. No. How much better would our lives be if we changed our perspective in the middle of the situation instead of afterwards? The problem that many of us, including myself, have is that we wait until after we have responded and until after a situation has happened to change our perspective and stop. If we could just stop our tongue, stop ourselves, our feeling, that rush of endorphins that run up inside of you when someone says something to you and you're like, I'm going to beat the living out of them. And then, wait, I can't do that. Right? I got to stop. I got to take a step back. Find the joy of the Lord in the middle of those situations. Change your perspective, and guess what? It'll be so much better. Change our perspective, Christy, huh? It's a conversation we had earlier today, too. When our perspective turns away from the things of the Lord, then we can find ourselves failing in those perspectives to find joy. I love this statement, and it's something that I had on my wall in my company when I was working in the business world for so many years. Change your stinking thinking. If you just change your stinking thinking, guess what? It makes it so much better. Now, listen, I'm not saying it's going to take away. There's some real, I get it. I understand. We're going through some real things. That's life. We do. We go through some real things. But the truth of the matter is that if we just change our stinking thinking, we can be joyful. Second thing is find the joy. Find the joy in the situation. When you walk into a situation and all H-E double hockey stick, I can actually say hell from the pulpit and be okay. But if all of that is crashing down around us, find the joy, because in the middle of that situation, guess what? There's going to be joy. We just finished up home group this past fall. We did the book called Soul Care. Amazing book. Something I can't encourage you enough to read. But in the book, he says, in the midst of your bad situations, find Jesus. One of the things that he talks about is going back. Listen, there are a lot of things that have happened to us in our past that we need to have deliverance of or forgiveness of or released from. But what he says in the book, which I really, really loved, was that at some moment in that situation, that bad situation happened to you, Jesus was there. And if you go back and you relive that situation and you look for Jesus in that situation, it'll help you deal with the situation today. Doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't take away that circumstances, but you know that Jesus was with you back then. Because there's one thing that Jesus promises us, and that is what? He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so whatever situation you've gone through, even if it's the bottom of the barrel, even if it's in somewhere that you are sinning to the greatest level, Jesus is always there trying to pull you out. And if you find that moment, if you find that joy in that moment, the trick though is that let's not go back and have to revisit bad things. Let's find the joy in the middle of the situation right now. Find the joy. Make it a place. Make it a purpose. Make it who you are. When you walk in, listen, there are certain people that when you meet them and you're having a problem, you're like, I got to go this direction because I know where this conversation is going to go if I meet with that person. But then there's other people that you're like, in the middle of a problem when I'm having a problem, guess what? I'm calling that person because they're going to make me feel good. They're going to make me laugh. They're going to give me new perspective. That's what we should be those people. Why? Because Jesus is inside of us. A few years ago, I had lost perspective on my life. I was struggling. I really was. My daughter had moved out, went to college, and then she got engaged and she's getting married. My father passed away and all these times. I was a mess. Emotionally depressed. I was going through a great deal of depression and I was having a problem and I met with a counselor, and as I was talking to this counselor, I was so happy that I chose to go to a Christian counselor. Because at that very moment, he reminded me that joy is everywhere because joy is God and God is everywhere. That was his phrase. See, it really boils down to us finding joy in situations. It boils down to us finding joy in the midst of our problems. When we start to feel overwhelmed, when we start to feel like I can't do anything more and I'm losing all hope and all of those things, we got to pause and say, I can find joy in the midst of this situation. But it has to become a response inside of here that leads us to here with him. He wants to love you so much that it brings you to joy. But we have to build that in. Find the joy in the situations around you. The last one that I want to talk about is joy is more than a feeling. Stop looking for joy in feelings and find joy in purpose, in love, but more importantly, in Jesus. Listen, there's a lot that can be said with finding your purpose will bring you joy. It's true. If you have a purpose in life, if you know what your God-given purpose, that God has called every, if you don't know this, every single one of you that are sitting here and every single person that's watching at home online because they are too afraid to drive out in the ice today or whatever it is, or watching at home online, you have a purpose, a God-given purpose that God wants you to walk in. Your joy will be completed if you walk in that purpose. It'll be easier for you to be joyful in the midst of knowing your purpose in life. Why? Because when we have a purpose, we know that just because things are going bad, I can have a purpose. You know why Jesus was able to be joyful even in the midst of dying on a cross for us? Was because he was fulfilling the purpose and the will of his Father. Do you know why the disciples were able to be hung upside down on a cross? You know why the disciples were able to be tarred and feathered and beaten and all of those things and still counted all joy is what Paul says? Because they knew their purpose. They knew the reason why they were here. We are here for a purpose. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And if you understand that, your joy can be made complete in that purpose. It's so important for us to understand that joy is so much more than that. So much more than a feeling. It is our purpose in Jesus. Jesus endured the most difficult, most shameful, least righteous, most uplifting anguish any human had faced or ever will, and did so for the joy that was set before him. You know, that's the verse that he says, I do this for the joy that was set before me. How then, for those of us who call ourselves his people, Christians, do you know what the word Christian means? It means little Christ. We are like Christ. Should joy not explode with significance in our everyday life? Shouldn't that be a naturally occurring outburst of our life? It should be. Because that's what the joy in the Lord does. Joy didn't come to Jesus because he felt good dying on the cross. It came to him because that's who he is and the purpose that he was fulfilling. Going to ask the worship team to come. Will you stand with me, please? I thought about this for a little while over the last few days, few weeks, of how I was going to wrap this sermon up a little bit today. And I love this idea of purpose because I want to explain something to you real quickly as they prepare to start playing. The purpose of the shepherds was to do what? The angels came to the shepherds and they announced Jesus' birth. And they told the shepherds were told to go to Bethlehem and find the baby laying in the manger, right? And then what did they do after they visited Jesus? Scripture tells us it was one real short phrase. They went and told everybody. In essence, that's my translation. But they went and told everyone what had happened. This glory that they saw inside or in the field, they went and told everyone about the baby laying in the manger. The disciples were told to do what? The disciples were told to go out and share the good news that was given to them, the gospel, if you will. They were told to go out and do all of those things. It was a purpose that Jesus gave to the disciples, and they went and regularly shared. It is why, as I said before, in the midst of the trouble and the issues and being hung upside down on a cross, killed and harmed and everything that they did, that they could do it all and still count it as joy. See, purpose in Christ brings so much to us. Too many people in this world today, I think, as Christians, don't understand the purpose that they're given to. And listen, if you don't understand that you have a God-given purpose, that God has given you a purpose, then please come and see me. Because I want to pray with you, and I want to pray with you until you are revealed from Jesus and God himself the purpose of why you're here. But I want to start with some very basic things. The very basic reason why you're here today, why you're a Christian today, isn't just to go to heaven. Matthew 28, one of the greatest verses. It's one of our favorite verses that we talk about all the time. And it tells us to go and make what? Disciples of all men. Your purpose, if you don't understand your purpose of anything else, then it's simply right out. Jesus spells it out. The Bible spells it clearly out to you. Go and make disciples of all men and ladies. Go to the world. He doesn't say just oh, just, you know, tell someone here or there. No, he says, go to the outer ends of the earth to make disciples. Purpose in Christ will bring you joy because you are doing what he created you to do. And that starts at the very least, and I'm not saying this is the only thing because there's much more to that, but the very basis, it starts with making disciples. That means teaching people how to come and have a relationship with Jesus, but then how to walk in Jesus, how to grow in Jesus, how to live this life, how to be joyful when bad things come crashing down around them. That all can happen in a discipleship as you're making disciples. I'm going to end by saying this. As believers in Jesus Christ today, if you are that, then we have the greatest reason to be full of joy. If you are a believer in Christ, you have a purpose, and that is to go teach others how to have that same joy that you have. Now, I don't want to call anyone out, but it's really hard to share joy when you're like, woe is me, such, I feel like Eeyore, right? Here I am, pin the tail on me, I'm a donkey. I'm not saying that you have to walk around being crazy like your pastor. I'm not even saying be Forrest Gump with a smile on his t-shirt that he walked around with, right? I'm saying let the people around you experience the joy that's inside of you. But it starts with actually having joy inside of you. And so as believers in Christ, if you don't have the joy inside of you, especially at this time of the year, then you need to take a step back and start asking the Lord, bring me that joy. I need it. I need to see it. And one last thing. If your joy is dependent upon what present you're getting or what present you're given, can I slap you? Can I lovingly slap you? Because it has nothing to do with, listen, I know presents are great. I will not deny. I love presents as much as anyone else. But I love his presence more than the presents that I get. And that's what brings me joy. It's not some wrapped gift that I'm going to get and probably use two times and put under in my garage and it'll sit there for years until I decide to no longer need it. It comes in his presence in my life. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you will do. But most important, we're thankful that you are joy and you have come to make my joy, our joy, complete. And so, Lord Jesus, help us in this place to understand our joy does not come from situations or circumstances. It comes from you, the person, the God, the Jesus that you are. We ask, Lord. You say we do not have because we do not ask. And so we're here before you, asking you in this moment, may our joy be complete because you are complete inside of us. May our focus not be on the things, especially during this season around us, but may it be on you instead. May we find our joy complete in you, Father. It starts with having a relationship with you. And if there's someone here that's never done that before, or you're at home watching online and you've never given your life to Christ, may today be that day where you come to him and you say, forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned and I need you. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Lord who died on the cross for me. Forgive me of my sins and let me walk eternally with you. Those are some important things for us to say, my friends. If you said those, congratulations, you're part of the kingdom of God, and that's an amazing thing. But may I remind you that just because if you have said those things, it doesn't end there. We are called to live out our joy every single day. And so, Lord, we're praying to you now. Help us to walk in the joy of the Lord that comes from you. Help us to walk it out as believers in Christ. Lord, I know it's important for us to bring those that don't know you into a relationship with you, but I think it's just as important right now to call out to the believers that are here today that aren't walking in joy and say, it's time to give up all of those things and walk in the joy of the Lord. Lord, help us not to be downtrodden. Help us to be not to be melancholy, but let us be full of joy that exuberates from us. That people look at and say, I want that. Lord, help us to be attractive in a joyous sense to the people around us. And Lord, forgive us for not being there. Forgive us for being the most, sometimes ugliest people that we could be because we're not finding our joy in you. We're trying to find our joy in so many other things. But let us find it in you instead, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We glorify you, we honor you, praise you. I pray, Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, I ask you as you're moving amongst the hearts of the people that are in this room today, bring us to that place. And if you're here today and you can't find that joy, come forward and let us pray for you. We'd love to have the opportunity to pray for you and to speak joy into your life. Spirit, be with us, guide us, and strengthen us as we do the will of the Father. As we're full of joy and wonder that he has given to us in this place. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's worship together.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in moment that I wake up till I lay in my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
In my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I can take, Lord, I receive the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in the darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. You have been so good. With every breath that I may go, oh, I will sing of the goodness of
Christmas carols is joy to the world. One of my favorite worship songs is this one. And so I pray to you today that as you leave this service, as you walk out those doors to go to your home and go to wherever you're going to be doing this week and this day and coming days, that you'll find the goodness of God that brings you great joy. That you can go and you can sing joy to the world and really mean it. Go forth from this place to share the joy of the Lord with the people around you. Let them see it inside of you. And let them be drawn to it because of the joy that's inside of you. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you so much for all that you have done, all that you are doing. And I thank you for a wife that can play piano and pick up on cues like joy to the world, Father. Lord, I thank you so much for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. Lord, I pray that you just walk with us, giving us every reason on this face of this earth to be joyful. Lord, we love you. We glorify you. Let your joy be present in us in all things. And we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise because you deserve that and so much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Joy to the world. Have a wonderful week. See you next week.